The next emotion that we're going to talk about is anger. Anger is rooted in love. Love of self, love of a thing, love of a person, maybe love of righteousness. It's often a secondary emotion, meaning that it covers up the root of another emotion, but it can be a primary emotion. Before we get into all of that, what is anger? Other words would be annoyed, irritated, frustrated, outrage, wrath, or exasperated. What does anger communicate? It communicates that something is wrong. Something or someone you love is being treated unjustly. At its best, it communicates protective love for what God loves. At its worst, it conveys self-interest and issues an ultimatum. Unhealthy anger is arrogance. So how does anger relate? Angry people tend to be tuned into the failings of others and are quick to offer or enact correction. Anger's instinct is to punish and attack whatever or whomever it perceives as wrong. People feel nervous in the presence of anger, pulling back for fear of critique, judgment, and attack. This in turn irritates the angry person who feels abandoned and unfairly judged, which only widens the gap in relationships. But how does anger motivate? It seeks justice. It protects what it loves. It punishes those who harm the beloved. And it seeks to reverse the damage. The question to ask is our anger serving God's purposes or serving my personal selfish agenda? You can use anger to evoke curiosity, anger at homelessness. Look for a program to create or to engage. Anger can protect you by helping you set boundaries to keep you safe or from being bullied. But how does anger present? Physically, we see quick breathing, flushed face, tense muscles, body feels tight, digestive issues, you can feel your blood pressure rise. Emotionally and behaviorally, you'll see a raised voice, harsh words, throwing things. It's one of the loudest emotions because it demands action. What does God say about anger, or how can it draw me closer to Him? James 1, verse 19 through 20 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Ephesians 4, 26 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." So the emotion of anger is not a sin in and of itself. What we do with it and how it controls us is the determining factor of whether it's healthy or unhealthy. Again, keep in mind, anger is often a secondary emotion that's covering up fear or shame or guilt or sadness. We see in an Old Testament example in Exodus 32, when Moses' anger, it was righteous, but breaking the commandments was not righteous. Throwing the calf into the fire, that was righteous. There's logical consequences. Commandments were broke, but another set did have to be made. We also see examples of anger in the Old Testament between Cain and Abel, Joseph and his 11 brothers, Jonah and his anger toward God, Jesus and his anger toward the money changers, and many of the Proverbs speak directly to anger. We see Jesus struggle with anger when he flips the tables in Mark chapter 10 and 11. We do see in Scripture that God is slow to anger. So if God experiences anger, then again, the emotion can't be bad, but how we manage it seems to be the issue. In your spare time, you can look up Psalm 103, verse 8 and 9, Psalm 145, verse 8, Exodus 34, verse 6, Numbers 14, 18, Joel 2, 13, and Nahum 1, 3. We also see some anger in Jesus in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 14, with the little children. Not with the little children himself, but let me read it. "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God.'" And then, like I said before, Mark 11 is where we see the flipping of the tables. So what are some words of wisdom when we're dealing with kids or even ourselves when we're dealing with anger? We need to remember that we're in our greatest danger when we're right. because being right about someone else's sin easily blinds us to our own. Expect to find bad things in your own heart when your search turns up wrongdoing in others. Often this will show pettiness in yourself, vindictiveness, self-righteousness. What is the outcome of my anger? Is my world or the world of those I care about getting better as a result of my being angry? Or is my wrath hurting me and hurting others? If you want to live out of righteous anger, we have to start by slowing down. Are we upset about what God is upset about? So what are the common missteps that we make as parents? Often we don't recognize that it's a secondary emotion. Something else is at the root. Asking questions once cooler heads prevail can help us to understand what's going on in the heart of our child. We can explain to our kids about our own experience with anger, how we've seen it serve us well, but then how we've also seen it do some damage. Another misstep would be not circling back once cooler heads do prevail to discuss the situation. We sometimes fail to ask general questions, we fail by asking general questions instead of specific questions. Another thing that we do is we withhold love and reassurance. We can't let our child's method of delivering their message keep us from getting it. We don't want to keep love or reassurance from them in the process. So what are some practical tips? We can be a model. Acknowledge anger. Something to the effect, teach them to say, "Mom, I'm so mad, I could just tear up my whole room." Put words to what they're feeling. Or perhaps teach them to be able to say, "I'm feeling angry right now, but don't worry, I'm not going to attack you, but I do need your help. Is this a good time to talk?" Giving them guidance. If your child is screaming at you in anger, listen. Don't match their intensity. Calmly ask questions and let their anger be expressed. The more questions you ask and the more intently you listen, the more likely the volume will decrease. Concentrate on the reason your child is angry, not on the way he or she is expressing it. They're really wanting to know that they're heard and understood. If your child is expressing themselves with the behaviors of pushing, of shoving, of throwing things, of screaming, you need to say to your child, "It's obvious you're very angry. I would like to hear what's bothering you, but we can't talk about it while you're pushing, while you're shoving, while you're screaming. But if you want, we can walk and talk about it." Giving an alternative physical action is one of the best things, because anger rages. It bubbles up inside of us, and we have to put that anger somewhere. Some of the things we can do is say, "Hey, run to the mailbox and back. Hey, take a long walk around the yard. Let's take a walk together." Or in our house, we have a punching bag that you can go and get all of that energy out before using your words. You can tell them to yell into a pillow. There are different things that can be done to get that surge of energy out first so that the words can prevail. If we as parents don't hear our child's complaints and we don't seek to understand why they're feeling what they're feeling, then they will internalize their anger, and it does show up later in life. They may be passive on the outside, like no big deal, but on the inside, anger grows, and eventually it will express itself in an aggressive behavior that we don't always approve of. Low grades, maybe sexual immorality, drug or alcohol experimentation. We need to give them instruction as we're shepherding their heart. Discuss Bible stories that exhibit anger and how it turned out for good, or how maybe it turned out for bad. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 11 or 22, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17, Proverbs 29. Scripture memory can help. As we turn to the Lord and remember what His Word says, we are transformed as believers by the renewing of our mind. We can read books on anger. If you have older kids, have them write a research paper on the topic of anger. Have them interview people. Look at different resources of how it can be used for good or for bad. One of the most effective things in our home has been informal conversation. Before things get heated, in times when you're just kind of sitting around or hanging around, maybe you talk about different topics of things that bring your child anger, and how to combat that. What are some healthy ways that when you get into that situation, how you would handle it? The thing that I would encourage all of us to do is to think about the fact that we are here to shepherd our child's heart. We're not here to match their anger. We're not here to win an argument. We're here to shepherd their heart so that they might turn to the Lord and to seek Him for help.